Why don't you take your Bibles and turn with me to Romans chapter 8. And let's start there in verse 29. Romans chapter 8 and verse 29. The Bible says, "For whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son." Father, today I thank you for the anointing to preach and to teach your word. And Father, I do believe that everyone that is here has come with a faithful heart, ready to hear and ready to listen. I pray, Father, that each word would be anointed by you. And Holy Spirit, I look unto you as the greater one who dwells within me to accurately deliver this word with all boldness and without compromise. Father, I believe that in this day, people's lives will be changed. They'll be set free by the power of your word. And Father, I thank you for faith that rises, because we know your word says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we thank you for that faith that rises today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Today I wanted to talk about faith and what it is that faith really does in our lives. Sometimes we equate faith to a lot of different things. It might be, well, I have faith if I go to church, or if I ask God for something, I ask in faith. And many times we throw the word out, not really understanding what faith truly is. Faith is a force that can change the course of your life. Faith is a force that literally goes into operation by God's word. And I am one who still believes in the miracle working power of God today. I don't believe that it was finished with the book of Acts. I believe that we are continually writing the miracles of God. And whether it's here or around the world, I'm believing God for miracles even in this day. Because I believe that God can do what no other power on earth can do, and it's not just a cliche. I know that when God parted the Red Sea for the Israelites, they walked across on dry land. I know that God doesn't change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Therefore, whatever God wants to do, he's able to do, and he can do it in our midst right here. I believe that Genesis is a place where people can come expecting the power of God to be manifested and then not being surprised when it does. See, faith isn't caught off guard by miracles. Faith, in fact, let me put it to you like this. Do you know God doesn't want you living miracle to miracle? But in the church, so often we're expecting a miracle from God. God says we're to live from faith to faith. So if we're living faith to faith, we really ought to know what faith is and how we appropriate it. Amen? So why don't we just go here? Let's go over to Hebrews 11, verse 1. The word says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Now faith. Let me give you a clue to what faith really is. Faith is always now. Faith is not somewhere out in the future. Faith is believing that what God said is going to come to pass. What God said has already come to pass in many instances. So, for example, when I come to God, and let's say I'm not feeling well in my body, I don't come to God based on how I feel. I come to God based on his word. His word says that I was healed 2,000 years ago at the cross of Calvary. Therefore, I can stand upon his word and make a demand in faith, understanding that faith is now. It's present. It's not hope. And listen, biblical hope is just as sure and steadfast as biblical faith. Hope is to the mind, soul realm, if you will, exactly what faith is to the spirit realm. And when you combine those two, when your heart and your mind align, that is when you see the power of God go into operation. Now, I believe this, because many of us have yet to realize the power of faith, that we miss out on so much that God has for us. We go through our routine. We go through the day trying to figure out what's happening. If I go to work, if I do this, if I do this, if I do this, my life's going to be okay. But what happens when everything doesn't go according to plan? I would submit that many times it's because we're not walking according to the promises that God has already given to us. So how do we appropriate God's faith? If faith really is now, we know that Romans 10:17 says this. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you want faith, you have to have God's word. Now, I've heard a lot of people pray things like this when it came to even healing. God, if it be your will, we're believing that they can be healed. Let me tell you right now, there's no faith in that prayer whatsoever. Our first statement is, God, if it be your will, that means we don't know. I know God's will concerning health. I know God's word concerning healing. God already sent Jesus to the cross. He took stripes upon his back so I could be healed. Isaiah 53 verses 4 and 5 says that exact thing, right? Surely he bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him, our sins. And with his stripes we are healed. So I know that healing, according to Isaiah, was already accomplished. Then, if you go over to Matthew chapter 8 and verse 17, it says, and Jesus healed all that were sick and afflicted, that it might be fulfilled by the prophet Isaiah, saying that with his stripes we are healed. And then Peter echoed the same thing and said this, we know that because of Jesus, it was with his stripes we were, past tense, healed. So I can't pray, God, if it be your will, heal them, because I know his will. I know they're already healed according to the word of God. Now, if God has declared something about me, if he's declared something in his word, and what I am experiencing is contrary to that, then I have to make my mind line up to what God said in his word. That's what we call renewing the mind. Now, how does it work? When a person gets born again and they make Jesus Christ the Lord of their life, the Bible says that old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new in Romans 5:17, right? Think about it like this. Or 1 Corinthians, sorry. Think about it like this. When you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, did everything change? When you looked in the mirror, did you have a new face? No. In fact, if you had a zit there, you had it after you got up from praying, right? It was still there. Nothing changed when you made Jesus the Lord of your life in that physical outward appearance. How many of you, after made Jesus Lord, still had some stupid, goofy thoughts? Okay, I'm not going to ask anybody to raise your hand, but I know for me, I still have stupid, goofy thoughts, right? It doesn't mean I'm not born again. It means that my mind sometimes does not line up to God's word. So my task is to make sure that my mind lines up to God's word. Colossians chapter 3 says that we have to set our minds on things above, not on things on this earth. Therefore, I have to get God's way of thinking. Let me put it a different way. Isaiah 55 says this, that God's thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. Isn't that right? I'm not losing you, am I? Okay, I know it's hard to say amen when you're chewing. It's a metaphor. It's so much food coming at you. Okay. Never mind. It's a time joke. You'll get it in the morning, okay? Thank you. So Isaiah 55 says that God's ways are higher, his thoughts are higher. Therefore, we have to adopt his ways and his thoughts. That's what renewing the mind is. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, Paul was writing to the church in Rome, and he said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Another translation says, that is a great act of worship. You want to do what's right before God? Get your mind right. Then he said, and don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This world is always presenting alternatives to you. You can do this or you can do this. And Pastor Josh had a great message a few weeks ago saying you don't have to believe what you're given. This is what we believe. It's God's word. What did the psalmist say? He said, your word have I hid in my heart so I don't sin against you. One of the things Pastor Josh is trying to get us all to do is memorize the word of God. I want my speech to be so full of God's word, my mind to be so full of his word, that when I speak, it sounds like him. Thank you for that rousing round of approval. If you want to sound like God, act like God, walk like God, have what God says you have, then you've got to know how to renew your mind to the things of God. And you have to know who you are in God. Our text in Romans 8:29 said this, that you and I have been predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ. Do I believe in predestination? Absolutely. Because that's what the word said. You've been predestined. Now, some people don't like that because they think, oh, well, if I'm predestined for bad, and I'm... No, it didn't say that. It said you've been predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ. So if somebody isn't living up to the image of Christ, is it because they're not predestined, or is it because their train got kicked off the track? I'll give you an illustration. Let's pretend I lay a train track out here on the platform. And down here, I've got a little box. Danny's not here. We'll call it Dannyville. Okay? So we got Dannyville down there, and I'm the engineer of my own choo-choo. So I come down here, and I put my little train on the track, and that track is going to end in Dannyville. Have I predestined where it's to go? What happens if Pastor Jonathan comes up here and kicks my train off halfway through? My train might look like it's off course, like it's off track. It's not making it to Dannyville. It's the same thing with God. God laid out a course, predestined us to go all the way to be just like Jesus, and he put us on that course, but the devil's come along and tried to kick your train off the track. And unfortunately, most of the time, we listen to his voice more than we listen to the voice of God. And it's only because we don't know God's voice. If you know God's voice, when the devil shows up, you just laugh. What are you going to do to me? I'm a child of the Most High. I'm a son of the King of the universe. You think you're going to kick my train off the track? I don't think so. I know who I am. I've been predestined to look just like him. So what does it say over in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 3? Guys, if you can put this one up, this would be helpful because I want everybody to see this one out of the Amplified Bible. Not possible. They don't have the Amplified. God forgive them, for they know not what they do. Let me read it to you. He, Jesus, is the sole expression of the glory of God, the light being, the outraying of the divine, and he is the perfect imprint in the very image of God's nature. I'm going to stop right there. Romans 8 said, I'm predestined to look like who? Let's say it out loud. Who am I supposed to look like? Jesus. If I'm supposed to look just like him, then don't you want to know what he looks like? If I'm supposed to have his nature and character, don't you want to know what it is? So Hebrews says, he, Jesus, is the sole expression of the glory of God. You and I get to be the expression of the glory of God. Now, I could take weeks on just what the glory of God is. What is God's glory? What does it do? How does it operate? What does it look like in us? What does it do to transform a world? What is God's glory? That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to reflect and be that expression of the glory of God. The light being the outraying of the divine. And he's the perfect imprint in very image of God's nature. Jesus is the perfect imprint of God's nature. Let me put it a different way. If you want to know God's nature, look at the life of Jesus. How many people did Jesus make sick? How many? So why is it that in religious circles we get this thing, you know, God's just taking me through this to teach me something? God can't give you something he doesn't have. There's no sickness in him. How can he give it to you? It doesn't exist in him. How many people did Jesus make poor? Well, I believe that I lost my job because, you know, God's trying to share with me, you know, his... No, stop that nonsense. Stand up and be the child of the king. You know what? There's an opportunity that's even better than that one, and it's coming to me right now. Why? Because everything I set my hand to do is going to prosper. I'm not going to be one of those that doesn't have work. God's already set it up for me that no matter where I go, I'm going to have 4, 5, 6 different opportunities waiting for me. Right, Kaylee? Amen. You just put God first and everything lines up. I know some people don't like that, but we go through things. Yes, you do, but you don't have to stay there. The word says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. The biggest word in there is through. I'm just going through. Don't pitch a tent. Don't camp out. Don't wallow in the valley of the shadow of death. Don't say, oh, it's just so bad out here. I don't know what I can do. I'm just in the midst of the valley of the shadow of death. I don't like camping. And I'm not building a hotel in that valley. So I'm going through. That's what we have to do. We've got to go through the valley of the shadow. Are you going to go through some things? Sure. But the Word of God says that he'll bring every mountain down and he'll raise every valley up so that my path is a little bit better. Why? Because I'm a child of the Most High. I'm God's son. Who is, if God's for me, who can be against me? Some people say, you know, I've had people say this in 35 years of ministry. I think that guy's arrogant. No, I just know who I am. What if God stood up here this morning and said, oh, by the way, I created the universe. No big deal. Light be. Light was. Stars. Whew, there they are. Who would say, that dude's arrogant? No, that's God. But doesn't the word say, as he is, so am I now in this world? Thank you, Father. You can't plan that, folks. God, just wait till I say something really cool, then. No, it's not arrogance. There's confidence. There's a confidence in God that we must have. Why? Because there's people. There are they's out there that need Jesus. And if we're wishy-washy about what we believe, it's no different than what they believe. We've got to show them a confidence that Jesus is Lord. And you know what? He can change your situation. He's already predestined you to be just like Jesus. And Jesus, just like the Father, he is the outring of the divine. He's the perfect imprint and very nature of God. Therefore, I can walk in health. I can walk in prosperity. I can walk in the things that God has provided for me. Jesus said, I came to give you life and to give it more abundantly. If you're not living a more abundant, wouldn't it be good just to have abundance? But what about more abundance? Well, I think just a little is enough. No, it's not. Quit praying unscriptural prayers. God, all I need is enough for me and my family. Stop being so selfish. Believe God for enough for you, your family, your church, your community. And watch what God will do. If you're a faithful vessel, He'll begin to bless you like you are. When the funds come in, they go out. They start flowing through you. You become, listen, God could sneeze and give you an idea that would make you millions. Oh. We've got to start believing God and believing that He's able to do what He said He's able to do. Glory to God. I'm almost to my message. I told everybody in prayer this morning before we started, I said, I'm going to get this all in 8 minutes. Anything after that's a move of God. I want you to see this next part in Hebrews 1:3. It says that Jesus upholds and maintains and guides and propels the universe by His mighty word of power. He upholds, He maintains, He guides, and He propels the entire universe by His mighty word of power. Say it again, because He upholds, He maintains, He guides, and He propels the entire universe by His mighty word of power. Now think about your world, your universe. Do you realize you can uphold, maintain, guide, and propel everything in your world by His mighty word of power? Not by your word, by His word. So when you put God's word on the line, God responds. God, the Bible says, is touched by the feelings of your infirmities, but He's not moved by them. There's a difference. God's moved by faith, not by the feeling of your infirmity. He knows you're feeling bad. But He's waiting for you to speak His word. Ephesians 3:20. Let's back up to verse 10. It says, to the intent now that under principalities and powers, the manifold wisdom of God is made manifest. Do you realize under principalities and powers, you make the will of God known? When you speak the word of God, angels respond. When you speak the word of God, devils respond. There's no devil that has any authority over you. Quit giving him so much power in your life. Colossians chapter 2 says, the devil was made not. That's King James's for nothing. He's nothing. Everybody hold out your hand. Look what's in it. How many of you have ever held out your hand? I didn't see anybody jump up. I didn't see anybody scream. I didn't see anybody go, ah, it's my hand. No, you don't do that. There's nothing there. You don't run from nothing. And yet so many people say, well, the devil this and the devil. Stop bragging on a nothing. God is the one who dwells within you. You can brag on Him all day long. And to the angelic and demonic realm, when you speak, they're listening to hear the word of God. Hebrews 13, verse 1. Says, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for the heirs of salvation? Referring to the angels. They're just waiting for you to speak the word. You speak the word, they go into operation. That's God. I heard God. And think about it like this. Ephesians 6 talks about the armor of God. Put on the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, the belt of truth, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You got the sword of the Spirit. Do you think for 1 minute if you look like God, act like God, talk like God, and you got His armor on, the devil wants to come raise the helmet and see if it's Him or not? No, he hears you talk like God, act like God, he thinks, that's God, I'm out. Didn't Peter say he's like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour? They go after the sick, the weak, and the infirm. They don't come after warriors. Tell you what, I'm preaching better than you're amening right now. Almost to my message. Relax. We begin renewing our mind to the things of God. We understand who we are. We uphold, maintain, guide, and propel. To uphold means that the Word has to be preeminent, first place. John says, in the beginning was the Word. If you just under in the beginning, no matter what you're facing, put the Word first. Whatever you turn to first will become your God. Maybe I could put another, whatever you turn to first is your God. You go to the doctor and you get that report. Was God involved, or did the first place we go to medical science? Hear me, I'm not against doctors. I'm not against medicine. Don't write me any letters, emails. But was that the first place you turned? You get a headache. The first place you turn, is it to Advil or to God? And say, Father, just, I don't want to deal with this. I'm the healed. I walk in your health. Where do we turn first? Now, no problem. If you want to take some Advil, fine, but don't let it be your God. You go through a tough financial situation. Do you look to get a new loan? And by the way, if you go get that new car and you finance it at 23.9%, don't say God blessed you. Oh, God gave me a new car. No, the devil put you in debt. Oh, Pastor, you wouldn't believe how God blessed me today. Oh, God help her. Nobody would have known who I was talking about had you not spoken up. Listen, I've been there. You know what it's like to be a preacher preaching like I'm preaching right now and have your home go into foreclosure and the tow truck back up and haul your car off because it got repossessed? Been there, done that. I'm preaching in Florida. Mighty man of power and faith. My wife calls me and says, honey, there's a tow truck that just hooked onto our car. What do I do? I said, wave goodbye. You think I'm kidding? I'm not kidding, am I? No. I can, listen, God's word doesn't change because your car just got towed. It means that I've got to get back to what God said and not what I just saw. I think that's sinking in for a few of you. Let the word be first. You're going to maintain your world by the word. It doesn't mean that you're not going to go through things, but quit claiming the anointing of Job. If you read through the heroes of faith in Hebrews 11, there's one name that's not mentioned. It's Job. God commends him as he does all of us. He didn't see our faults and flaws. What does he commend Job for? His patience. He was a man of patience. But he didn't call him a man of faith. Do you realize that the entire book of Job lasts less than 9 months? The dude lived well over hundreds of years. But we key in on that one little thing. And in Job 3, he says this, the thing that I greatly feared came upon me. What are you afraid of? When it comes to you, don't be surprised, because fear is a type of faith. It's perverted faith. Fear is believing that what the devil said is more true than what God said. Still faith. It's just perverted faith. We put our faith and trust in the enemy rather than the faith and trust in God. So I choose to believe the word, not my fears. What does fear stand for anyway? You know it's an acronym, right? False evidence appearing real. That's what the devil tries to do. Present you with some evidence that's wrong. Sorry. I've got the word. I'm going to maintain. Not only am I going to uphold my world, I'm going to maintain it. I'm going to guide my world through his word. Didn't the psalmist say, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path? How many of you have ever been out in the night and you got a little flashlight? Does it show you where you're going? No, it shows you your next step. You realize that the further down the road you try and point that light, it gets dim? The prophetic can see brightly down there. We get all excited about the way down there. But God said, it's my word that's going to get you there. One step at a time. One step at a time. If he wanted us to know everything, he would have told us. You know why I don't believe God tells us everything that's going to happen? Because we'd quit. Oh, wait a minute. You mean I'm going to have to go through that? Peace. I'm out. We're good. So God says, just go this far, because in this step, you're going to get the strength you're going to need for this step. And you're going to get more strength for this step. And then when this thing happens, that if I'd have shown it to you back here, you'd have quit, you're going to go, big deal. And you're going to walk by. Why? Because you've already developed the strength to walk through it. Not only do we uphold, maintain, and guide, but we propel. How many of you want to propel into your destiny? How many of you want to propel into your destiny? And that means you need God's word. That's where faith comes. Whatever it is you need, you're believing for that brother, that sister, that aunt and uncle, the grandma, grandpa, father. You want them to come to Christ? Start standing on God's word. You have a right to claim your entire household. None of my household's going to be lost. They'll all know Jesus. Every one of them. It's my right. It's my heritage. We're a house of heritage. Why? Because we believe this. Not just one or another, all. We're believing God for all. That's what we're going to stand on. So if we want the very best that God has for us, if we want to be conformed to his image, there's only one way to do it. And that's to be in this every day. Please understand, there's so much I could give you today concerning God's word and being strong in God's word, but it's something we live. I'll let you know right now, I never practice what I preach. I preach what I practice. This isn't theory to me. Some of you don't know the stories. Pastor Josh, when he was born dead. Without oxygen for 25 minutes. I could have looked at the situation and said, you know what? He's dead. That's what the doctor said. He's gone. but I chose to believe. God gave me this child for a purpose. And the purpose is not death. It's not so I can have a testimony of death. Now, please hear my heart. I'm not trying to say anything about anybody or the experiences you've been through or losses. They're painful. They're difficult. I understand that. But if we don't get the Word of God, we're going to go through more painful, heartbreaking scenarios. 19 years old, I was diagnosed with spinal meningitis and given less than 24 hours to live. I was in the United States Navy at the time. I was at Balboa Medical Center. They put me in a room to die. The doctor said, whoever you have to call, call them now because you won't be able to call them in the morning. Listen, I didn't know much about faith then. And that's kind of good news because God will meet you where you're at. Don't think you've got to know everything I know to do this. God expects me to know a little bit more because I've walked with him. And if you don't grow, you're kind of stunted. No wisecracks later. I'm still growing. But I really didn't know what to pray. I didn't know how to pray. I just reached out to God and said, God, I don't believe your purpose for my life is to die in this room tonight. So whatever you got to do, do it. That's all I knew. And God's still my father. He's my daddy. And he reached down. He said, you know what? You're dumber than a brick, but I love you. Just touched me in that hospital room and said, you know what? I can use you. Chosen, right, Wendy? Some of us heard that word this week. God had choices, but he chose you. Think about that. The guy that flung the stars into the universe said, who shall I use today? And he pointed at you. Only you can do what God called you to do. The way you can do it. That's pretty cool. Amen. Let's stand up.